Okay, this is my SME interview for ENT 600. I am going to be interviewing Ms. Stephanie Crosby, the owner and operator of Crosby Taxes and Accounting, Taxes RS, and the bookkeeper for Williams Chapel Church. Hi, Ms. Stephanie.
Hi, Tasha.
So, jumping right in, what are some jobs that you held in your youth?
In my youth?
Mm-hmm.
Whew. My very first job was when I was 14, I worked in the cafeteria at my junior high school. Then when I was 14, 15, and 16, I believe, I worked in New York City as a recreational advisor for a camp, for a children's camp, summer camp. Then the next one would have been when I was 17, and I worked in New Jersey at Camp Namoco as a recreational person for a Girl Scout camp. Then the next job would have been when I was 17 and 18, I was at Camp Mary Atkinson as a recreational person for Girl Scout camps here.
Awesome.
So
what are some of the key things those jobs taught you?
That I wanted to go to school because I didn't want to work that hard. So I wanted to do, definitely that I wanted to go. School was not optional. It was something I was going to need to do, because even though I enjoyed those jobs, I knew that was, especially when I was working in the cafeteria at my middle school, that was hard work, scrubbing pans, and I knew that was not something I wanted to do for a living.
Good stuff. What motivated you to seek a career in accounting?
I originally started out in pre-law.
Oh, okay.
And then I had some bumps and turns in the road, and I ended up not being in school for almost a year. And when I returned to Federal Tech, I was working somewhere. Where was I working? I was like, accounting. And to me, accounting was like my choice, because they said you needed to be good at math, which is not true. I later found out. But it was a field that would be good for somebody. When I returned, I went to a 2-year school instead of a 4-year school. So that made me choose something other than pre-law. And of course, if you really want to go to law school, you do not have to have a degree in law. So I chose accounting because it felt like I love math, and it felt like the thing that would be closest to math.
Okay, good stuff. All right, you are currently working as the owner and operator of Crosby Taxes and Accounting, Taxes RS, and you work as the bookkeeper for Williams Chapel Church. What will you consider your strongest service?
It's two different, it's like two different areas I'm serving. And my strongest service, I guess, is faithfulness as a bookkeeper. And then my strongest service at Taxes RS and Crosby's accounting and tax, especially at Taxes RS, my strongest service, I guess, would be skill as far as trying to find things that other people don't look for.
Okay.
Because, of course, I was on the other side as an auditor, and I didn't like that because I felt like I was always, I didn't like the fact that people, I was the person that made people have to pay bills that they shouldn't have had. And I know that even though in an audit situation, it's not your fault. But I also know that these people that I was giving this extra bills, most of it was because they didn't have good record keeping, not because they really owed that money, and that really bothered me.
Yes.
Because I couldn't accept certain things, and it was just their non-ability to record keep. And that's why I always recommend to people, whatever business you're in, that's the business you're in. You need to hire somebody else to take care of your accounting side of it, because that's not what you do.
Right. That makes sense. So tell me a little bit about your business. Tell me the type of services you do offer.
On the Taxes R Us is primarily the personal tax side of the company. Mm-hmm. And they do personal taxes and small business taxes. Mm-hmm. Schedule C, not really corporate taxes. Mm-hmm. Crosby's Taxes Accounting is our overall accounting. So they do record keeping, bookkeeping for different companies, and payroll, majority payroll.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what types of methods have you used to hire staff?
I have used word of mouth. Mm-hmm. I've used Indeed.com. Okay. I've used the Employment Security Commission. Mm-hmm. In the past, I've used the newspaper. Mm-hmm. In the past, I've used checking FevelTech, like boards, like FevelTech posting boards, things like that. Mm-hmm. Just about every method you can think about will be used.
So which one do you prefer and why?
I actually prefer word of mouth. Mm-hmm. Because that normally speaks to the character of the person. If somebody else can recommend that person. Mm-hmm. And then you can check their background and their skills. But you have a recommendation of the person. Because anybody can fake it for you for a 10-minute, 15-minute interview. Mm-hmm. And anybody, and just because you got a degree don't mean that you're really a skilled worker. Mm-hmm. Because we have so much online stuff and so much, people being able to just skate by. And so you can't really go by somebody. And then just because they got a resume don't mean that resume is true.
Right.
And then it's very hard to check references because there's so much turnover. Mm-hmm. They might have worked for somebody a year ago. They may be gone too, or nobody there may remember them.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. What are some key factors you consider when hiring someone?
As far as interview, mm-hmm. I consider, one of the things, when I'm looking at somebody's resume, I want to see how many times they've changed jobs. And my hiring practices now are a little different than my hiring practices were when I was a hiring manager for, like, the Days or Howard Johnson, because mm-hmm. those were permanent, full-time positions mm-hmm. I was hiring for. And now I'm hiring for temporary, mm-hmm. full-time and part-time positions. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different. And there's a lot more leeway now than there was over here. Mm-hmm. Because, more than likely you're going to hire this person. They may work the full tax season from February to May. And hopefully they're going to go on to another permanent job. Mm-hmm. I usually look to see what your history is as far as, how many employers you've had, mm-hmm. how long you were prone to stay. Did you, why are you looking for a job at this time? What caused you to be unemployed? Mm-hmm. What's your family situation? We want to make sure, of course, that you have transportation mm-hmm. and flexibility of hours at this point.
Okay. Can you illustrate some challenges you face in staffing and retention over the past few years?
Woo! Staffing is not easy because, as I said, anybody can be who you want, and that's why my interview methods are pretty harsh mm-hmm. because during the interview, anybody can fake it for 10, 15 to 20 minutes, whatever that interview is. So if a person comes in and they are not even meeting your standards in the interview, mm-hmm. it's not a good idea because the first impressions are your best impressions, and more than likely it only gets worse from there. Mm-hmm. So I try to see, I always give a task. Mm-hmm. And that way, I'll try to see how long that person's attention span is. Mm-hmm. Do they complete the task, or do they have an excuse? How well do they complete the task? Mm-hmm. What time do they show up for the interview? you know, I was taught if you're on time, you're actually late. Mm-hmm. So you should, but then they should not be there an hour before interview time either. Because that's just, that, you know, I don't know but about you, but if I never work again, I got enough stuff to occupy my life for the rest of my life. So if you can be an hour early for an interview, that's just not a good sign. You know, just basically personal. With my business, there's a lot of problems. You gotta make sure the personality meshes with the other personalities, because we spend long during the tax season. We spend a lot of long hours together, and if you got one person that it can throw the whole balance of the tax office off. Mm-hmm. And then you know how much I measure how much you talk about yourself. Mm-hmm. What information would you reveal? Because we're in the tax business, it's our job to hold people's secrets. Mm-hmm. So,
what areas typically get overlooked the most, do you think, when hiring somebody?
Personal, because everybody's afraid to deal with the personal areas. Mm-hmm. Like questions like you're not really supposed to ask how many children a person has. Mm-hmm. Or if they're married. You know, you could ask if they're married, you know, but no matter how much you say we need to separate business from personal, most people cannot do that. Mm-hmm. And so if they're going through a bunch of issues in their personal lives, then you're going to get a bunch of issues at your office. Mm-hmm. And so that's the most overlooked area, because it's not quote unquote correct to ask those questions, but you have to be able to figure out a way to ask those questions without asking those questions.
I agree. That's very true. Is it essential to hire people you know and trust, or have you been successful in recruiting people outside your social circle?
It is always harder to hire people and work with people that you know and trust.
Really?
Because you consider their feelings. Mm-hmm. And no matter what you say, you react different to them because you know them and you know the personal mm-hmm. issues. It is much, much easier to work with people that you don't know because you don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, you make them toe the line no matter what. You make them go by the rules no matter what. But my theory on that is, yes, it's much harder to work with people you know. But if you don't reach back for those you know, who will?
Right.
So you have a social responsibility mm-hmm. and a moral obligation to help those that you know if you can, but it's much more difficult.
Oh, wow. I didn't consider that. That's good stuff. And this is my last question. What advice would you give an entrepreneur about staffing?
Look at what you see. Mm-hmm. Read your resumes. Mm-hmm. And then forget all about all that and go into your interview and actually interview that person and see if, because what you see on that paper, if it doesn't agree with what you feel in that interview, it's probably not right.
Right.
So read it. Make sure they're saying at least that they present the qualifications that you need. And then once you've qualified them, forget about the resume and go into the interview with an open mind and figure out, is this person really the person that they presented themselves to be? And trust your gut.
Yeah, it doesn't lie. Well, thank you, Ms. Stephanie Crosby, for agreeing to this interview. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.